Thank you all very much.
Next three are Anna Samo, Grace Bentley, and Joseph Berezinski.
Hi, welcome. Glad you're here. Who'd like to begin?
I can start. Sure. I brought a poster, too. I'm an educator. So my name is Anna Somo, and I am a SUN coordinator at Fir Ridge in David Douglas School District. It's the alternative high school there. And I am speaking today because we received a couple of grants from the East Portland Action Plan to assist us with our summer activities. And we did one last year that was called Soil to Stovetop. And maybe I can just pass this.
Thank you.
So you can take a look at some of the photos from our students who worked on our program last year. And Fir Ridge is the alternative campus for students who have had a difficult time at David Douglas High School and need a little bit of extra support. It's a really small school. And the SUN program offers summer and after school, weekend, and break activities. So the East Portland Action Plan funded our summer program last year, which was a garden-based science and cooking program where students came every day for a month and did different science and cooking activities and volunteered in the community and worked with the neighbors next door at the Cherry Blossom Retirement Home and with other middle school and elementary schools. So that was a great opportunity for them to be able to get out into the community. And we've also gotten a grant for this coming summer to offer a similar program that'll be garden-based, but focusing on math and entrepreneurship and small business opportunities. So the East Portland Action Plan has been really great for our program because it's allowed us to connect with the community, to network in East Portland, and to offer additional opportunities for students who really need it during the summertime in particular. Thank you.
My name is Joseph Berezinski. I represent Slavic Community Center. As you know, Slavic community is always staying out of the government agencies, so I'm the rare voice of Slavic community. We have started working in March 2010. Until this time, we have developed three departments, which is advocacy department, which provides help for the people that don't know very good English or the newcomers. We also have a department of health and wellness, where a Slavic community is known not to go to a doctor until there is a problem. So we educate them in this area. And also we have education department, which provides the newcomers to start out with whatever programs needed to get them running as fast as possible. And we are thankful to East Portland Action Plan for giving us a grant, one of our programs, which is citizenship classes. And we are going to be working closely with East Portland Action Plan since very big amount of Slavic community is in Portland, East Portland. So that's why we'll be probably working along the way a lot longer. Thank you.
Thank you. And keep up the good work.
Good morning. My name is Grace Bentley, and I am representing OPAL, Environmental Justice Oregon. I'm the community organizer there. And OPAL organizes environmental justice communities in East Portland, which are more specifically low-income communities and communities of color who experience more burdens than benefits as a result of policies and development. And as you know, TriMet has recently cut over 170,000 hours worth of service and has implemented the 10th fare increase in 10 years. And so while raising the fare and cutting all of the service and having transit be one of the most important lifelines to everyone, those communities that depend on it the most, environmental justice communities in East Portland, end up being the ones who suffer the most. So the East Portland Action Plan has a plan to implement equity within East Portland, and OPAL is, they have funded us to work on forwarding that goal by We are working on a campaign to extend the transfer times, campaign for a fair transfer. We want to extend the transfer times to 3 hours, and then after 7 p.m. have them be go on through the end of the night unlimited. And this would mean organizing a community to speak for itself, to change a policy that affects them directly. So it's more than just extending transfer times. It's about uplifting community and having a long-lasting, meaningful voice within TriMet and all decision-making. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
The last person who signed up is Tom Lewis.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and commissioners. I wanted to make sure to be here this morning so I could extend the EPAP efforts, and that means physically as well as see that it carries on its important mission. I am with Centennial Community Association, which represents all citizens to the Gresham border, and that, as most of you know and been out my way, is 174 blocks to the border, and hoping to gain recognition and responsibility for those folks in my community. On 162nd and Stark Street has been a challenging corner of my neighborhood. It is about 6 blocks from the 162nd max stop, and that means it has attracted mischief, to say the least. So that corner of my neighborhood, we were able to gain through a EPAP grant a AmeriCorps position that Jenny Glass is doing some organizing in that corner to bring the community citizens together at 162nd Stark and also the businesses and try to bring a better sense of community. The EPAP grant has contributed some funding for that AmeriCorps position, along with contributions from Centennial Community Association, and of course, federal dollars to fund her position through the next year from she began in November. So the commitment by our community and Jenny for her short term for a year, but our long-term to make sure we're represented appropriately to the city of Portland is vital. And that connection with the East Portland office and the EPAP grant funding means everything. But it is just a beginning point for our community to build on and be more than it has been, and with outlook to be even better represented and contribute to the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on accepting the report?
Fritz.
Thank you all for taking the time out of your busy day to come here on a Wednesday morning. It's important to have it during the day when people are watching on television. It's the, we can show folks what you're doing with a relatively small amount of money. And the mayor and I announced the equity initiative last month, and thinking about what that equity initiative and what the Office of Equity might look like, this is a good example of a partnership between the community and the government. The community can't do it all by yourself. The government certainly can't do it all by ourselves. Together, you have leveraged and grown and taken charge of ownership of this plan so that you didn't let it sit on the shelf, but neither did the city council have any intention of leaving it on the shelf, that it has been funded since its adoption and will continue to be funded. So thank you very much for your ongoing work and volunteering. Together, we're doing really great things in East Portland. Aye.
Fish?
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward and all the folks who've joined us this morning. To me, the two most conspicuous successful planning processes that I've observed were the Culley-Concordia Plan and the East Portland Action Plan. And as Katie noted, some plans do collect moss. And I think the difference is not just the quality of the plan, but it's the quality of the leadership implementing the plan. And at page 4 and 5 of the report, I was looking at who is the representative on what issue, and it struck me that the reason we're making so much progress on so many fronts, as you've identified, has to do with the quality of the leadership. Katie is at the table helping us craft our budget. Linda Robinson and Ted are at the table helping us get Gateway Green right. Gene DeMaster and Nick Sovey and so many others are at the table helping us spend our monies more wisely to address the needs of East Portland. Arlene and Linda are constantly agitating and advocating for parks interests. Linda is in the parks board, and Tom Lewis, who is here testifying today, is the reason that sooner rather than later, his neighborhood's going to get a park, a developed park. There's land that the city has acquired, but it hasn't been developed. Karen Gray spends more time in this building than any other superintendent in the city, advocating for a range of issues. I don't know how she does it. And she serves at the mayor's invitation on the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Mark White seems to be chairing about 15 committees. But closer to home for me, he's on the Portland Housing Bureau's Advisory Commission, and he's also working on with the county and the city on some food policy issues, which are vitally important. And I don't mean to leave anyone out. I mean, Shelley Romero testified today. She played a leadership role in the Lentz Park Master Plan, which is soon to come to council. I could go through every single name, but what is striking to me is that you are no longer on the outside looking in. You're actually at the table helping to implement this and shape policy. That's how we make progress. So thanks to the leadership in this room. Thanks to you for your work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank this East Portland Action Plan Committee and its aggressive involvement. It's very welcome. I think, for too long, I've been in public office for a number of years now, and I think there, initially when I first started serving, I think there was just this, obviously a feeling of disenfranchisement, but not a willingness to sort of engage in the problem. It was to sort of just bemoan the problem. And now I think you've all rolled up your sleeves, you've formed numerous committees, and you're being involved in just about every aspect of city government and probably county government too. And I think it's really paying off. And I'm really impressed with all the initiatives that are ongoing and all the people that are here this morning demonstrating their commitment to this. So I'm very pleased to continue to support your activities and to gain equity. And I also wanted to just, particularly flag at the beginning the fact that you have in all your meetings child care options and translation options. Those are very important things that I would like to see us have more of at all city functions, but I think that you've adapted that from the start and have made that standard operating procedure as something to be lauded. So thank you for doing that as well. I'm pleased to support this. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I agree with everything that's been said up till now. You guys have represented excellent advocacy and continue to do that, and I really appreciate it. Aye.
Adams?
Well, this is the way it should be done. You've set a new high standard to inspire others to follow, whether they're public servants in the many layers of government intended to serve all citizens of Portland, whether it's your leaders or your fellow residents in East Portland. It's very gratifying to work with you, and I look forward to continuing to do so. Thank you. Aye. So approved. Let's see. Can you please read the title for 258?
Authorize a grant agreement with Portland Community College Foundation to administer $5,000 in funds for the Youth Action Grants Program.
Is Todd here? What's that? Or did I skip a time certain?
Well, yeah, 10 o'clock.
I apologize. I will withdraw that request. Can you please read the title for item number 244?
Denial of a vacation request for a portion of Southwest Hillsdale Court and a portion of Southwest 43rd Avenue, south of Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway.
Please come forward. Welcome back. Remind us what we're looking at again.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Council. Kurt Kruger with the Office of Transportation. To my right is Linda Berth of the Office of Transportation, our right-of-way acquisition section. Before you is, again, the street vacation request for Hillsdale Court in Southwest Portland. This was before you in approximately October 15th of last year. In summary, this has been one of our longer street vacations in history. I think this was started in 1997. It has been a work in progress, and council sent all parties back to the drawing board in October asking for compromise and a workable solution to be brought back to council. In short, we've been involved from a distance watching some conversations continue to occur between the petitioner and the affected property owners. There's proposals that have been put on the table that have not been accepted, as outlined in a letter by the petitioner to council earlier this week. And this particular right-of-way is in excess of what the City of Transportation standards would require, but it is still being used by the property owners adjacent to this right-of-way. And compromise has not been reached, and agreements have not been signed and agreed upon. So at this point, the Transportation Bureau is still here before you with a recommend of denial for the full street vacation as proposed.
Discussion from council. All right.
Did you say there was more right-of-way than necessary, according to city standards?
That's correct. Hillsdale Court right now is approximately 80 feet in right-of-way. Given the zoning that's in place, the standard that we would need if this was still to remain a street would be a 60-foot right-of-way. So we have about 20 feet of additional right-of-way for the length of Hillsdale Court.
And there was nothing that could be worked out with that additional 20 feet of right-of-way?
The Office of Transportation wouldn't object to the reduction of that. That would still serve the needs that are there today in an attempt at a compromise. I think if you have the map in front of you, Southwest 43rd, there's a very small short street stub that connects to Beaverton Hillsdale. That is an area that could be vacated that would still allow the access on Hillsdale Court. In addition, that 80 feet of right-of-way could be reduced to a minimum of 60 feet and still serve the property owners, in our opinion.
Okay. Other council discussion?
Which piece of the of the 80 foot would be proposed to be carved off?
This is not something we've vetted completely, so we don't know for sure. If the council were to direct us, we'd come back with, I'm not sure if revised findings would be the appropriate term here, but 10 feet on each side of the center line, so on the far north side and the far south side, and reducing it by 10 feet from each edge of the property line. So you would still maintain a core 60 feet of right-of-way through Hillsdale Court.
That would be 43rd, you said?
And then the small section of 43rd directly south of Beaverton Hillsdale that connects to Hillsdale Court.
And there isn't a development proposal on the table, is that correct?
There is not.
And in other land division and planned unit development applications, often the application is approved with a condition of approval to vacate the right-of-way. That's the more normal way of doing things, is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we have four people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Dean Alterman, Greg Blackwell, and Angela Blackwell.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mayor Adams and City Commissioners, my name is Angela Blackwell. I'm co-owner of Southwest Ottawa, and I'm just here to say that I absolutely agree with what was just said. We are more than happy to have that reduced. We don't feel like we need the whole 80 feet. 60 feet would be great. It would still have flow traffic, parking, and it's a vital part of the street that our community uses. We're small business owners that it has Southwest Auto Body, Cactus Jacks, heating and ducking, and another mechanic shop at the other end. And I feel like that, you know, we're put a lot of money in the community with, I believe we employ between all of us, between 30 and 40 employees, and millions of dollars go into the community. And it's definitely a vital part of a street that we use. So I agree with what they're recommending.
Thank you.
What's your understanding of what they recommend?
That the street be reduced from 80 feet to 60. And then I believe there's two properties that Barbara owns, and I believe that they're going to try and work where that's vacated also. As long as we have flow from one end to the other and parking that accommodates all the businesses, we don't see a problem with that.
So you're not concerned about the 43rd vacation either?
Is that no. Okay. I believe that that's between Barbara's two pieces of property. As long as we have an in and out, that we have like Jack has beer trucks, we have tow trucks, we have sometimes, you know, and it's not all the time, but, and it depends on how busy we are, but there's definitely tow trucks on both ends of the parking lots between Hillside Imports and Southwest Auto Body that you know, that we use. And to shut it off on one end and try and have a turnaround for these big vehicles, it's unrealistic.
But in your opinion, it needs to be a through street.
It has to be a through street.
Thank you.
Yes.
She said pretty much everything I was going to say, so I'm the co-owner of Southwest Auto Body, so I'll let Dean Alderman take over.
Right. Mr. Mayor and councilors, my name is Dean Alderman. I'm here as the attorney for the applicant in this case. What we have here are two competing policies that are now coming up to you for a decision. First is the availability of streets for business purposes. Second is the availability of land for redevelopment. This proposal is here, and it is still here, only because, from Mrs. Sedlin's point of view, of the possibility of uniting her three pieces of property into one. Your clerk is handing to you a short exhibit. Most of these are things you have seen before, but I think they might help to illustrate the situation. The first page, page one, is simply the vicinity that we're talking about, a little bit east of 45th and Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. And then I have a couple of pictures of the existing neighborhood to show what the street is being used like. Exhibit two, labeled Hillsdale Court West End. You'll see over on the left Cactus Jack's, the restaurant owned by Mr. Stanley. That building and the building next to it, the CK Industries building, are built up to the right-of-way. The sidewalk is in the public right-of-way. Every car and truck that you see there is parked in the public right-of-way. That's how it's being used now. Note that most of the parking is head-in or tail-in rather than parallel parking. And that's because the right-of-way is 80 feet wide and the paved part of it is 60-plus feet wide. It's a street that's as wide as Southwest Broadway that serves four businesses. Exhibit 3 is showing the other end of the street. The Blackwell's business is over to the right. There's a white or silver-colored car parked in front of it. Their building also fronts on the right-of-way. The cars that you see there are in the right-of-way. The wide, what looks like the wide-open area, sort of to the lower left of the photograph, is the stub of Southwest 43rd Avenue that Mr. Kruger and Ms. Berth referred to. The grassy triangle is one of Mrs. Sedlin's three pieces of property in the area. The whole purpose for the vacation and for her spending 13 years pursuing it is to try to consolidate that piece, the piece to the left of Southwest 43rd Avenue that's a little bit off of the map, and a big empty area that's to the right off of this picture, all into one piece. Certainly narrowing the street is in the public interest, but it's not a vacation that Mrs. Sedlin would pursue because it doesn't do anything to make the front pieces of property more developable or to unite them with the back piece. The next exhibit, this is another photograph of the street looking west. Again, all of the cars that you see are parked in the right-of-way. the picture after that shows that there were at one time. At one time, I think, the city actually used to maintain the street. In this picture, it's Exhibit 5. It's not very clear, but sort of in the center, directly underneath the Hillside Auto Body building, there's a street drain. The other pictures in this, you've seen bits and pieces of curbs, bits and pieces of sidewalk. And that's because this used to be a state highway. The state maintained it. The state gave it to the city along with the existing Highway 10. And the city has chosen to maintain one of them, but not the other. One of the reasons that Mrs. Sedlin and her neighbors haven't been able to come to agreement is because of the use of the street, as shown in Exhibit 6. Here we see a C&K truck parked in the public right-of-way, blocking the truck access to Mrs. Sedlin's building. Next to it, you'll see a dumpster for C&K. Next to it is a pod or bin, I'm not sure what, belonging to C&K. All of that is in the public street. And the real hang-up in the street is that because there isn't much demand for the street, everybody along the street's been using it in ways that technically don't really match city code. That's what the underlying issue and objection is here. Exhibit 7 shows a slight modification to our original vacation. The green area represents what Mrs. Sedlin's property would be if the vacation were granted. We have proposed, in response to the neighbors' concerns, to reduce the vacation by 16 feet at the east end. That would provide a fairly large turning circle, 60 feet in diameter for the Blackwell's businesses, and a fair amount of room for off-street parking. We had proposed, when the Johnson property, that's the orange section here, was included, to grant to the Johnsons an easement across the green cross-hatched area so that they would continue to have truck maneuvering room to get in and out of their business, and would propose to continue the nose-in parking for Mr. Stanley's business. Last week, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson withdrew their consent to the vacation. Because the law requires that owners who actually front on a street must consent to the vacation unless the city does it on its own initiative, we're treating that as a withdrawal of their frontage from the vacation application. And whatever you do, ask that you not vacate anything in front of the Johnson's property unless they go on record consenting to it. What I've labeled as Exhibit 8 or Plan B shows what happens to the street vacation with that change. The area in front of the Johnson's property remains right-of-way. We have the same 16-foot cutback to leave a 60-foot turning circle, or more if the circle were to the left, in front of the Blackwell's property. We were told to come back to try to get an agreement, and we didn't get to an agreement for a lot of these reasons with the neighbors. Bureau of Transportation was asked, you asked them in your December meeting, to come back with a plan for the street, and we told you at that time that if the plan got halfway to satisfying Mrs. Sedlin's desire to have a piece of property, that she would support it. Well, there isn't a plan. There's a suggestion to narrow the street. Narrowing the street does nothing for Mrs. Sedlin. It's not a vacation that's going to happen. We couldn't reach an agreement, but we could answer the concerns. Mr. Stanley's concern was parking. Our proposal allows 24 on-street spaces if you allow the nose-in parking to continue. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson's concern was truck maneuvering. The area in front of their property would remain public and be available for truck maneuvering on the current space. Mr. and Mrs. Blackwell's concern was also maneuvering. We think that a 60-foot turning circle, basically as much maneuvering room as trucks have or virtually so in Southwest Broadway today, is probably adequate. We hired an engineer to take a survey. We've submitted that as a letter showing that small trucks came in, but in the week that the engineer was there, the engineer didn't see any semis or really big trucks come in. Mrs. Sedlin is open to small adjustments in this proposal to meet whatever the expressed concerns of the neighbors may be and to solve that. But she and I think that she's responded to them, and you now have the policy choice. Do you want this property to be redeveloped?
I need you to wrap up.
Sure. Would you like this property to be redeveloped or not? It doesn't need an 80-foot through street. We suggest it doesn't need a through street at all. And that's the decision that you have. Thank you.
I'd like to ask Mr. and Mrs. Blackman if what you just heard would be acceptable to you.
No.
No, I'd like to explain why.
Please.
And the reason that all this parking that everybody takes advantage of is because Barbara's never did nothing with her land, so everybody's kind of used it because there's never been nothing there. So, I mean, we're proposed to her fixing up her property. We want her to do that, but We do not want her to do what she's doing because it's going to cripple all the businesses that's there.
And can you explain why that would be, why this turning circle thing doesn't work for you?
Because the week that they hired a person to watch to see how big a trucks pull in there, we have semis pull in there. Our business has been down. There's times when we have semis coming in there all the time, and there wouldn't be no room for them. There's tow trucks. There was one that came in last week that's a double tow truck. We would never get it in the area that they're saying that we would have. And what they're trying to offer us isn't going to work.
We don't oppose Barbara developing her property, but I don't believe that she has to cripple four other businesses to justify vacating that street for her financial gain. We're totally, like, we to narrow the street, and but we have to have that through. We have to be able to go from one end to the other and have, I can see that some places are taking advantage of it, but her, there's nobody there. She threw up fences and it's vacant. And that's why I believe that they're parking the way they are.
You need the ability, when I went to take a look at this, I think part of what you need is the ability to pull through and not have to be able to potentially turn so tightly.
Exactly.
If you were granted access to be able to do that on 42nd Avenue so that you can pull through either direction, would that help?
Yes.
That would help?
Okay. But that's not currently developed, right?
No.
No.
So that would require developing a street
yes.
to do that.
Yes.
Well, we don't have a street there now. We have a corridor.
Right, but currently there's a paved street which is in use, and that's the comprehensive plan
yes.
requirement for whether we are to allow street vacations is whether there's a current use for the transportation
yes.
facility, and there obviously is, and
yes.
it's obviously needed.
Yes.
So to put the burden on these four businesses to install a new street in order to
exactly.
vacate this one
yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm not yeah. suggesting a new street necessarily. Which your business is right there on the corner?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying that they get access with the driveway, and
is
42nd a developed street at this point, or is it just I can't remember?
No.
Yes.
Yes?
It is a development.
Yes.
But you couldn't turn around
no.
on 42nd.
No.
It's a very steep hill on 42nd.
My suggestion was you get a driveway access so that you can do that. So you don't have to back up and turn around so sharply just in your lot.
But it's a very steep hill, very steep hill. And semi scrape just even going up that hill.
And it's I can't remember. When does it start getting steep? Right away?
Yes.
Right away.
Right on the corner it does.
But so, again, I'm looking at the picture of your business. Why can't a semi back in?
Well, if they were to, they could back in off of BHH, Beaverton Hillsdale, but they would be sticking, if she did what she wanted, they would be sticking, a truck wouldn't be able to come into our parking lot backed in.
And so there's an island there. She owns the island.
Yes.
And how much past that island, I guess, would be to the west would this property line be if we granted what they're requesting?
Well,
how much open space would you have?
They were offering us 10 feet, I believe.
In addition to what you have?
Yes.
And so how many feet is that altogether?
It would make it approximately they're saying 60 feet, but that would be turning into the parking lot, and then if there's any vehicles there parked, then it would cut it down dramatically.
But I'm just trying to figure out the solution to your issue with the truck. 60 feet, it seems to me, is more than enough for a truck, the length of a truck.
If it's just a regular truck and there's no other vehicles there.
But the vehicles would be your vehicles, would they not?
They could be customer vehicles.
But wouldn't you be able to control that if you had a truck coming in?
I mean, you could do it.
Know, I'm
I
sure
mean,
there'd be a lot of juggling around that we could do if we wanted to, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to find a solution here, and I'm sure there's a lot of uncertainty, but, like, you know, if you had a truck coming in, I'm not sure I understand why it's a fatal flaw at that point to ask a customer to move their car, or if it's a car you're going to work on, to make sure that space is available.
Well,
quiet. So help disabuse me of the notion that I have that it feels like you're looking just not to agree.
No, I am. So I'm here to agree. I'm here to support me. All the business owners also. I'm here to...
I'm not asking about all the business. Yeah. I'm asking about this specific issue. I'm just trying to understand why 60 feet wouldn't accommodate the problem that you have with trucks.
Well, we haven't...
60 feet of the right-of-way that's there now?
Well, I just asked how many feet total available, and you said that she was willing to grant 10 feet in addition to the feet that you control, which is 50. That gives you a total of 60 feet. Why wouldn't that be enough?
I mean, the angle that it is, if she was to put her building the where she wants to, the angle that he would have to come in there would be, it wouldn't work. I mean, if he's going to come in there to a dead end and he has a semi, he's not going to be able to jack it around to get in there. Now, if he came in there nose first with a semi and he had a way to access back out, that would be a different thing.
So I want to talk to Kurt, if I could have you. So, Kurt, I get that the status quo, the current, the way it is now, is the best possible scenario. You've got a street that's not used for much, provides massive amounts of flexibility. When you've looked at this, do you believe, based on, you know, the standards that we operate under, that this, the new proposed on this map, meets the sort of expectations of this kind of business for access and safety and such?
I believe it does for the more traditional vehicle that shows up. What I'm concerned about is the larger semi vehicles, and I don't have the lengths and trailers that are associated with those.
Is there a limitation on how big of vehicles you can even get to the site?
There isn't today because of the existing right-of-way that allows them to pull through there.
Sorry, the highway that they would have to travel to get there. Can you do semi-trailers and all that on that highway?
A 65-foot truck should be allowed to move in here. My question to the Blackwells would be, if a vehicle were to pull in, and what we'd want to have is a semi-trailer pulling into the property in a head-in motion and leaving the property in a head-in motion. We
Absolutely.
Don't want vehicles backing out or from Beaverton Hillsdale. What has been offered since we met in October was a reduction of the right-of-way by 10 feet, as Commissioner Leonard noted, to the west of where the original vacation line would be. My question would be, for the large semi-trucks, how much distance would you need if 10 feet isn't going to work for a vehicle to pull in and move out? What distance would you need? And without a...
I would say at least 20, because then he would have quite a bit behind him to back into us and then go back out onto Beaverton Hillsdale Highway.
From 10 to 20?
From 10 to 20 or 10 to 30?
10 to 30.
Okay.
But aren't we mixing the two different proposals? One was a narrowing of the through street, which the applicant doesn't want, and the other is a turning circle, which this business says doesn't work for them.
Well, he's trying to get to a turning circle that does work.
So what I'm hearing, and it does make sense, that if they went from a 10-foot reduction to a 30-foot reduction, that would accommodate their vehicle movement. And then, Commissioner Fritz, your question of narrowing that right-of-way would get into attempt to meet our current standards of right-of-way dimensions that we have today. So there'd be two dimensions. You'd shrink the one end on the east end by 30 feet, and then you could potentially narrow the right-of-way from 80 feet to 60 feet.
Do you know when vehicles are going to be coming to your business? Do they make appointments?
No. We actually can be closed and things coming in, tow trucks coming in, customers come in all throughout the day, insurance adjusters coming in.
But it sounds like we just, with the conversation we just saw, that that would accommodate for all of that.
Yes, we're willing to work with, you know, if we can do it, we're willing to work with it, but it hasn't been that way.
And I'm really uncomfortable doing this in City Council when we've already had a several-month delay to try to come to some agreement.
Yes.
We don't have a proposal on the table that is acceptable to the adjacent property owners.
When we go back and forth, I'm not sure if this is appropriate, but we have a lot of money in attorney fees. We go back and forth, and Barbara shoots everything down. It has to be all or nothing with her. She's never been, you know, throughout the years, the reason why it's taken so long is we'll do this, and we're all okay. She leaves, goes back to New York. 3 years later, she comes back and starts it all up again. And then we're like, okay, yeah, we're willing to work with you. We'll do this and that. And this is the road that's been happening. And
sounds frustrating. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is this acceptable to your client?
I'll ask. I think it would be. The other alternative would be what you'd suggested, to reopen for the connection to 42nd Avenue. This was, after all, a state highway. It was flat. It was level going out at that end, and that would provide through access in and through access out.
And it's at an angle like this, a semi-truck that in these natures would never go out on. They wouldn't do it. The road's too much of an angle.
Okay, so that won't work for Kurt. All right, does the other...
I think because there are other neighbors who are here, perhaps if I come back up after you've heard from them, and I can
give you
the applicant's response.
So we're trying to figure it out so that it works for you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Other?
One more person, Jack Stanley.
Mm-hmm. This is the only place we're going to figure this out.
Good morning, and thank you for letting me speak. I'm Jack Stanley. I own the property to the west. It's the restaurant Cactus Jack's. I'm going to try to keep my comments very concise. I'm here today to ask you to please deny the vacation of this street. It's been ongoing from 1997. Tried very hard as a current business owner to work with Barbara Sedlin on making it viable. And there's a couple things that just strike me as obvious, is that we need to work, when I say we, commissioners, current business owners, people live in the area, with somebody that actually wants to develop the property. If you just take just kind of a fun, for lack of a better word, a fun kind of creative look at the piece of property, it's close into Portland, it's on a busy street with a lot of residential. That little loop right there could have developed into a cute little viable, efficient place with successful businesses that the people that live in the neighborhood, the churches, the schools, people could make it work. We could have jobs. We could have commerce in that area. And it's very simple. You could narrow the street. Obviously, don't need an 80-foot street back there. But there needs to be an access in one side and out the other. If you vacate it and block it off, the only person the only person it benefits is Barbara Sedlin. And you can even watch how many times her attorney said the word, well, Ms. Sedlin, this doesn't work for her. Ms. Sedlin, this doesn't work for her. And I want to thank her attorney for pointing out on pictures, which I know they like to show as unflattering, but we do use that street right there for parking. And he pointed out there might be a dumpster there to put recyclables. But quite frankly, the four or five businesses that are there have maintained it for 15 years. Ms. Sedlin has more frontage property than we do. She has chose not to develop it. She has a large parcel in the back. She's chose not to develop it. The only thing that she has been asking is to acquire more property to increase value so she could sell it and then be done with the area. Those of us who live and work in the area want to see something happen with it. I met with her attorney this winter when she was out of town, and I said, Dean, my parking is a big concession. If we're going to vacate this street and allow Barbara to increase her property value in existence, then why don't you designate an area in the back where it's not as valuable that I will share with other business owners and somebody else that would want to develop that? I said, I don't have to have it designated only as Cactus Jack's parking, but let's share that. The only stipulation I had is please don't make overnight parking. I wouldn't want somebody to park there for 24 hours and not let my customers come in and out, but I'd be willing to share it. Do you see one proposal on any of this gray area that she's ever proposed, and I'm almost finished, where she allows any allotment of any property that she newly acquires? She wants to allow me parking, which she's crammed way too many cars in here. It's not accurate. They will not fit as many, 24 spaces will not fit in the area that she has. So I'm just trying to say the bottom line is we need to develop this thing cutely, creatively, efficiently for the community, and work with somebody that wants to develop the property. It's gone on since 97. I'm exhausted with this process. Let's work with somebody that really wants to get something done and not just add another piece to the Monopoly Board. Thank you.
So before I'd be prepared to even entertain anything other than what has been recommended to us by PBOT, I would want to hear from Ms. Sedlin herself. You are not Ms. Sedlin.
I understand that.
I hear you, Commissioner, but I'd like to say a few things first.
You can, but it's I don't want to be disrespectful, but I don't.
No, that's fine.
We've heard a lot about this, and I'm quickly zeroing in on where I'm going to land, and it's not going to be advantageous to your client at this point. And what I'm hearing is a lot of people who sound to me like they're trying real hard to creatively come up with a solution, and I'm hearing intransigence. And notwithstanding what I might think is right or wrong, that's not a way, for, at least for this particular commissioner, to resolve this in favor of your client. So
I need to
hear from her why we appear to have pretty creative conversations here, but they don't happen from one council session to the next.
I understand that, Peter Fry, and she will speak to you. I only wanted to establish some facts for the record. I wanted to point out that the engineer is correct, that you need to enter and exit in forward motion, and so semis could enter and exit in forward motion on the east side. The second thing I wanted to point out was, I hate to disagree with the commissioner, but street vacations are horribly difficult, and I have never seen a street to vacation as a condition of a development in my entire career. You have to get petitions. This one took 2 years to get the petition signed. In my opinion, it'll never happen again, unless you do it, and the city council has authority to do it. Third is, I wanted to point out that the street is less than 60 feet from Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, and I have seen few, if any, streets in the city that are so close to, especially a highway, where people can't serve that transportation purpose. That's all the facts I wanted to put into the record. And I'd like to have my client speak to Commissioner Leonards.
Welcome.
Hello, Barbara Sedlin speaking.
Thank you for coming. So we've been listening to this for an extended period of time. You have clearly been involved with the issue exponentially longer than that, as have been the neighbors. So what this, after reviewing the record and listening to testimony, seems to come down to is an inability outside of this room to come to a workable compromise. And what's troubling is it sounds like we hear creativity when we get here, but none of us are comfortable on the fly amending very detailed maps that appear maybe to give each party what they need. And I'm just curious, what is it that's happening that doesn't allow you to come to this kind of an agreement outside of this room with the neighbors?
Well, I'll respond to that, and then I'd like to respond to that, but I'd like to make one bigger point. The unification of these parcels, which I happen to own, somebody else might happen to own them, is in the city interest. And I think, in other words, forget whether it's in my interest or not. It's in the city interest. It's in the city interest because this is in a close-in area to the central CBD, because this is about a little bit under 2 acres of land in an area that's sort of hard to control right now, gets vandalized, et cetera, et cetera. This represents an economic opportunity for development. It would add to the tax base. It's in concert with the fact there is a public bus line on there, and there's intense development farther west. So this is an infill. And I think that was why I started it. I started it because I believe the city of Portland was in favor of infill projects. And at that time, when the market was strong, we actually proposed a multi-use project, mixed-use project. And that was actually a little bit before the Pearl District had been successful. So this was a creative idea, not just the idea that I wanted to grab property. The reason I haven't developed it is I need the there needs to be a consolidation of parcels in order to have a good development. You have narrow pieces of land along the frontage, and in the back, subsequent to the time I started, there's been a sea conservation overlay, which affects the development of that land. Also, visually, that street looks like a mess, and so you're never going to get good development while it's a mess. The reason, now to respond to your question, the reason we haven't been able to come to agreement, I think they're multifold. One is the ground rules keep shifting. Last time we were here, we were supposed to solve this parking problem for Jack Stanley, the circulation and truck problem for Brad Johnson, and the turning radius problem for Mr. Blackwell. Now we hear all of a sudden that everybody needs to drive through, which is a different issue. That's a circulation, you know, a circulation problem. Another reason we haven't been able to come to any, we wrote each of these people and made a proposal to them. Two of them didn't respond. One responded and then wanted me to give them additional land. And another person didn't respond until we thought they were going to accept an easement, but when all of a sudden they reversed their position. I think part of it is that it's just a fear of the unknown. They don't see a proposal. They don't know what's going to happen, and that's human nature, is that people tend to be afraid. But I can say this, that I definitely feel that any development that took place here would be better than what we have there now. And I feel that now we, by pulling back to proposal plan B, we left the street exactly as it is on both sides of the property. And it's only strictly in front of property. Excuse me, we're only asking to vacate the street strictly under in front of property where I own both sides. I'm not asking to vacate in front of Blackwell. I've even pulled back into my property and given him more space. And by the way, the mount is 16 feet, not it's 10 feet on one side and 16 on the other to give him more space. And there's never been, you know, people are, I did a, under my auspices, we had a professional engineer do a study. He said they needed 15 spaces, so we left, now we've left 24. They've never done a study. No, I've never seen any study of what parking, what turning radius the trucks needs. I don't know, but the engineers and an architect worked on it, and they said this turning radius was adequate, and they said that parking was adequate.
So I really appreciate your answer. Thank you. Mayor Adams, if we were going to vote on this now, I will vote to support PBOT's recommendation. I would make a suggestion. We have four or five other items left on the calendar. If these parties with the PBOT staff want to go into my office in the conference room and come back after our last item on this agenda with an agreed-to compromise, I would support that. They're welcome to use my office to have those discussions, or we can vote now. It's up to you.
Do the parties want to entertain a good 30 minutes of work?
Yes.
Do the other? Let me finish. Do the other parties? Where'd they go? Where?
I have to go. I couldn't do it.
It's a pretty important decision about your business.
But they don't have their attorney there.
I'm not done yet. And the other party?
I'm willing to do it. But like I said, with my first open deal, to me,
the process.
It's got it.
It's not going to be worked out.
Is it going to be done today, or are we going to go
yes.
to the meeting?
My idea would be if you can't come to an agreement, we'll vote reflecting that. If you can, we'll vote reflecting that.
All right. So we are going to go with Kurt and Katja. And,
Kurt, if you go to my conference room.
Linda. Thank you, Linda. Sorry. Thank you, Commissioner. So we are pausing on that agenda item. Feel free to kick out the professionals if the primary folks just want to talk amongst yourselves. Don't feel like you're outgunned by the professionals. Service folks.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right. So, Carla, can you please read item 258?
Authorize a grant agreement with Portland Community College Foundation to administer $5,000 in funds for the Youth Action Grants Program.
Could I have folks please come forward? You did that quicker than I thought you were going to. I am very pleased today to introduce this topic. It's a project of the Multnomah Youth Commission, my education team, Portland Community College, Students for Giving, Iraqi Society of Oregon, Youth Planning Program at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And this will be for council consideration, Multnomah Youth Commission and the Youth Planning Program at the City of Portland, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability are launching the third round of funding for our very successful Youth Action Grant Program. For this year, with a pool of $5,000 available for youth-initiated, youth-led projects. The Youth Action Grant Program will provide up to $1,000 per project for young people to launch community endeavors that address our Bill of Rights, children and youth, and the Portland Plan. So today I'm pleased to introduce Todd Diskin, my staff, part of the education team and staff to the Multnomah Youth Commission, who does a fantastic job, along with others, in keeping us innovating and keeping the voice of youth active in this particular program, but so many others. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. My name is Todd Diskin, and I have the pleasure of having probably what I feel is the best job in City Hall, is being the staff person of the Multnomah Youth Commission and working on other educational endeavors on behalf of the City of Portland. And I'm here today to, I think, go through what would normally be a rather mechanical effort in moving $5,000 to the PCC Foundation, which we've done in the past, but also we wanted to take a moment to put a spotlight on some of the great work that this has happened in the past year, and to highlight some of the great efforts that we're going to see in the coming months from these organizations who've applied for this grant and been awarded. And there's some really fantastic things to highlight in this effort. So this work could not be done without partnerships. And so much of the work that we do in the city is based on the partnerships that we create. And so first off, I want to acknowledge Amy Wells, who's here. She's with Mercy Corps, Global Citizen Corps. She's the youth leadership coordinator.
Amy?
Mercy Corps is added an additional $3,000 to the budget this year to help bolster our efforts and to do that outreach. Their partnership in all our work has been phenomenal, and we continue to deepen our relationship with them based on their youth development programs, and so we're really proud to have them as a partner this year. I also want to give a shout out to the PCC Foundation, which is the kind of the financial arm of this grant. They'll be distributing the dollars this year. But even in a greater sense, our relationship with PCC extends to the Students for Giving program. Dr. Kate Smith is here, who is the instructor for that program. And their class on the social movements class, which it's a philanthropy class in which students learn about giving. And additionally, the Multnomah Youth Commission, Daisy Kionis is here, who's the co-chair for this year's Youth Commission. They've provided essential leadership and training and development in this area. And I'd like to give an acknowledgement to Multnomah County and the Commission on Children, Families, and Communities, and my partner and colleague in staffing the Multnomah Youth Commission, Mark Fernandez. There he is. And of course, this work could not have been done without the essential help of the Youth Planning Program. Pam Fawn is here today, and she's going to share with you a little bit about the importance that BPS has had in the Youth Planning Program. So I'll give you a little timeline of how we've approached this work. This is actually the fourth year that we've administered the Youth Action Grant. We've essentially